Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Notorious OTB on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today. Welcome, everybody, to the Notorious OTB, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And as always,
it's all good, baby. It was all a dream.
From time to time, we peruse Blood Horse Magazine. I'm your host, Chase Sessoms, the Wolf of Oaklawn. Pod. It's an emergency pod. Guys, I got the stream deck I'm trying to get set up. I'm going to go a little inside baseball here. I'm going full Gary Shandling, breaking the fourth wall. I am not good with technology. So whenever I got the stream deck and whenever I had to like download a program with it, that was already too far. And then I had to like download another product that wasn't even related to it and create like virtual lines in and out. And now I think I'm just talking to ghosts or me, the heavy reverb. I suck at it. So that's why there was no show on Thursday, but it's a good thing because things happened. Shit got crazy. We've got a carryover at Belmont. We've got major news with how races are going to be run this summer. And I've got the man. He failed to menace, but he succeeded to steal the nation's heart. Our own Seabiscuit. Matthew, what's up, buddy?
Not much. Good to be here with you. And yeah, I was joking with somebody earlier today. Can we not just have like three normal days in a row in the sport? And indeed, the answer is no, we cannot.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was going to have a lovely weekend. I had already, you know, gotten done capping the Saturday card at Belmont. Was looking forward to kicking back and relaxing. And then Churchill Downs and Heisa had completely different plans for what I was going to spend my weekend talking about and doing.
Yeah, it feels like you have a sequence of crazy shit happen, and like when you're into it, you're like, this doesn't surprise me that more crazy shit happens. But as more keeps happening, you're like, there's no way. There's no way the streak can continue. It's been insane. First, real quick, pod housekeeping. Don't forget, this is the last week for you to leave a review for the show, The Notorious OTB on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, and get yourself in the drawing to win the one, the only Fallen Bob canvas print. I dreamed it up. I outsourced it to Eastern Europe. Someone made it for me, $50. It recently appraised outside of an antiques roadshow for a bus pass and a box of envelopes. So get in there on the Fallen Bob. We're going to draw the winner on Belmont Saturday. And word of the wise, get your reviews in early, because sometimes it takes a minute for them to show up for me to see. You don't want to miss out. You don't want to miss out. Yeah. You don't want to wait for a year for me to come up for another fucking awesome painting. I don't know if I'll ever come up with another one like this.
It's a great idea. I love it. And I feel a little cheated because I already put a comment and I already reviewed your pod months ago before this Fallen Bob thing. So I feel a little cheated by this, but I'm happy for the nameless person out there who doesn't even know it yet, or might not have even done a review yet, who is going to be the proud recipient of the Fallen Bob.
You've got the six timers velour pants. You've got the seven timers 1980s bomber jacket. Like, how much more swag? Is that why you're the only reason why you're showing up anymore, Matthew?
No, I listen, it's just all for good company, my friend. So, and that's a great callback reference to the Five Timers Club on SNL and a great skit. You can call me Mr. Steve Martin now.
Yes. Oh my God. I could go into SNL for forever. Let's talk about something not funny. No. Churchill Downs will be ceasing operations temporarily following 12 horse deaths that everyone is well aware of. I'm talking me and you, your mama and your cousin too. Mm-hmm. Everyone is well aware of it. My sister doesn't know shit about racing. She goes to Oakland, whatever. I walked into her house yesterday. First thing, what's up with all these horses dying? And you know, she didn't care, like was bored after like 2 minutes into that answer. But according to the Blood Horse article, which we still peruse occasionally, by Byron King, the decision was the recommendation of the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, HISA, which if you're not familiar with the term, the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority, which I hope is better than the Port Authority. Basically, what they said was there's not one thing that killed all 12 horses, so we can't let racing keep happening. So is this just like a House on Haunted Hill situation? What is going on in Louisville?
Well, I think there's a lot of layers to this, obviously. I think those of us who follow the sport closely, we could have told you all 12 deaths weren't linked. And we knew that for a while. There was a paddock accident. There was the two horses that died immediately after racing. Yeah. There was breakdowns on the turf, breakdowns on the dirt, different parts of the track. So, listen, I think a lot of us had been calling, myself included, for Churchill to be more proactively public about how they were dealing with this issue. Because this just, it wasn't like one or two here, one or two there. We had seven leading up to Derby week. And yet somehow we were just like, kind of radio silent on like what we're doing. And I understand there are people in the industry who've reached out to me privately and said, hey, we've been working behind the scenes on this stuff. You got to have some transparency in this sport and let people know you're doing things, especially in today's social media world and in the 21st century when things become catastrophes very quickly from a media spotlight. And when people like your sister and people like my mom, who lives in the middle of nowhere and doesn't even have the internet, literally, came down to visit her last weekend. It was her birthday weekend. And the very first question she asked me as well was, what's this that I'm hearing about all these deaths at Churchill Downs? Like, you got to do something. And, you know, after 12 deaths, you finally had that kind of press release saying that they were going to take a closer examination of the track. The track does appear to look fine, according to all indications. But it's still, from a PR standpoint, move everything to Ellis Park. That's where you're going to next anyway. I know some people will, I know there's some kind of traditional blue bloods in Kentucky who think this is all just a dog and pony show and that they're giving in to the masses on this. And this is going to give the wrong impression that the track is broken. I think it's going to give the impression of, listen, we're taking this seriously. And in a month from now or 2 months from now, when we issue an official report that says, here's our findings, and maybe we find the surface is totally safe and maybe there are other causes for the deaths, people are going to believe you because you actually took things seriously now.
Listen, the majority of America isn't an agrarian society anymore. So in the 30s, whenever probably, you know, 12 horses died in a span like this, probably no one batted an eye because people were used to growing up on farms and things and horses, you know, animals not necessarily being companions, pets. They're tools. They're there for work. They're born to do what they do, and you use them and you take care of them for as long as you can, but eventually they pass on. We're a little bit more touchy-feely, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing by any means. Like, hug the shit out of your kids. Don't get me wrong. Like, hug the stripper heels right off of your children, your daughters. That's what I do every day. This is my thing, and I feel like a lot of times it boils down. I really feel like the surface is the most consistent thing. And it feels like, to me, with no proof, that the surface might be to blame. And I remember this with seeing Anita and thinking the exact same thing, which is, if they figure out the surface is to blame, they're never going to say that, oh yeah, we had a garbage surface and a couple of your, you know, one of your $1 million horses and a couple of your $50,000 horses died because of it. Like, what? It's, we, we always get spin. We'll never get anything but spin. It's the world we live in now. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I think that, you know, we should mention this came on the heels. This decision to move to Ellis Park came on the heels the day before of Churchill Downs saying that they were also suspending certain, performance-based, incentives for trainers that had so many starts, and rolling back initiatives where if a horse was unable to run four times in a rolling 8-week period, and if a horse had been defeated by 12 or more lengths for five consecutive starts,
like multiple
they
starts,
were going to be ineligible to run at Churchill Downs.
Take away one of my bread and butter ankles, no big deal.
But one of the things that I will say is, and this speaks to when people get frustrated about Heisa and things like that, guess who already did this 4 years ago? Oh, right, Santa Anita. And again, guess who just decided, that these common sense measures, screw that. We're not going to let California dictate what we do in Kentucky. So Kentucky does what Kentucky wants to do. And Churchill Downs does what Churchill wants to do. And everybody has their own little fiefdom in this sport in such a way that you need to have more uniform policies for safety purposes. And I understand people are going to latch on to the most ridiculous elements of those safety procedures, whether it's using a crop so many times, et cetera. But it's other measures like this that have really demonstrated usefulness out in California racing. And it's one of the reasons why over the last 10 years, this has become a safer sport.
Yeah. Listen, whenever the Ford V8 came out and you could run across state lines robbing banks and the cops just had to stop you, they had to form the fucking FBI. That's kind of how I see Heisa, honestly. Yeah. It's just a way to standardize everything. Here's something that should be standard for everybody. First, bet now, pay with your Visa card. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in betting advances, which can be an extremely valuable tool. Imagine what you can do with an increased bankroll. Get down on some of your favorite futures without tying up your bankroll for months. Double down on a favorite bet you like, or even use this to create an awesome middle or even hedge, which is disgusting. You should never do it. Edge Boost isn't some sleazy loan shark. This isn't Joe Pesci. They charge zero interest. There's no juice running. No one's going to dig a hole in the desert, get there like 45 minutes early. Do you know of a way you can access more money to place on your favorite bets without paying any interest? Support SGPN and grow your bankroll by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 years or older to use. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily, yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Which just sounds like a hot like 900 number that I like would call for like 2 seconds in third grade and then hang up real quick. All right, that was a weird look into my childhood. Last thing on the Churchill Downs moving to Ellis Park and everything. It's just a message to just horsedom in general. Just tighten it up, tighten the shit up. It's getting sloppy. All right, everyone needs to tighten it. Everyone needs to do some. Let's just say spiritual sit-ups and suck their guts in and figure this shit out. All right, let's figure out the Belmont Park pick six for tomorrow. Matthew, we got a friggin' carryover heading into this one.
Love it.
It starts race five, which post time for race five is going to be 3:03. Eastern, 2:03 God's time. So we had to do this rapid fire. We're putting together tickets for you. Keep in mind, this is a $1 base. This ticket is going to be, how they say, expensive. It's going to be real expensive. It's going to be more expensive than my sweet ass gold plated 18 karat Cuban link chain. That's right. I'm talking about this all I can. I went with two horses here. What did you like in the opener for this pick six. How likely are we to say that's why God made pick fives and be firing back?
It depends how deep you go. I feel like this is a really tough leg to start on because I feel like there are like four horses, and David Aragona, who sets the morning line, does a really good job, obviously. But there are four horses that are all kind of between 5-2 and 9-2 in this race, and they kind of are indistinguishable from each other. This is a tough one. I ultimately landed on First Deputy as my top choice, 9-2 on the morning line. And I just feel like this is a horse that, you know, has been running pretty well. And I really does like the distance, 8 for 15 in the exact at the distance, and has run well at Belmont in the limited time. We'll get the class drop as well, has been running in state restricted $45,000 optional claimers. You go back and look at how this horse ran in open company claimers or state restricted, claiming 25s, and the horse has done very, very well in those spots. So I really like First Deputy here. And then the other one that I like, and I'm going to use more than just two in this sequence, so I'm interested in hearing which two you end up using. But I also use the number four, Lohengrin 2.
Look at us. Hey, look at us.
Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Are you kidding me?
Surely he wasn't going to name my second horse, too. Yeah.
Well, talk to me about this one, because this is Lone Speed. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I thought. Oscar Barrera, you get Oliver Madison up, two people whose names start with O's. That's got to be a winning combination. The horse gets the weight break. It might be the speed of speed in a field where everyone wants to go. It's a Saturday track at Naira. Could be juice. So you can't shy away from horses that might get tired out in a duel because they just might fucking hold tomorrow. I've seen it happen at Naira plenty of times. It's not like it's a huge day. It's not like it's Met Mile and Acorn and everything, like, you know, it's not Belmont day, but they like to speed it up a little bit on the weekends, like people who do a little bit of meth on Fridays just to party a little bit harder on Friday night. Who was your other horse?
No, I agree. I mean, I definitely like the four there. The other ones that I think the way that you're going to have to run back a pick five is if you leave the one off your ticket, I think. Because David Jacobson has been sending out a lot of winners, and you got Irad Ortiz Jr. and him teaming up. And that one just feels like, oh, you're going to try to get smart and try to beat this horse. Well, he's going to win by seven lengths. And so, I'm going to use the one, and I'm also going to probably use the six, Air Point. Those top four, like I said, I just can't. I mean, yes, I like First Deputy the most, but my level of confidence is not nearly enough where I just go, oh, I feel confident with just these two. And that's it. So I'm going to go four deep in the first leg.
David Jacobson, Jingleheimer Schmidt. That's his winner too, Matthew says. We are going to hit race six. I was just 2-4, my top pick being First Deputy at 9-2 for the exotically named Lolita Shivmangal, I believe is how you pronounce it. It's no Naipaul Chatterpaul, which is my favorite trainer name of all time. Race six, six furlongs, $95,000 in one something allowance on the inner turf. Guess what? It's a turf sprint. Matthew, what's going to happen?
They're going to go slow up front.
Let me rephrase. What do I think is going to happen?
You think they're going to go way too fast up front and somebody's going to close from the back. That is exactly what you think is going to happen.
That is you. Yeah. Yeah. You pretty well nailed it.
So give me your deep closer. Give me your mind that bird at six furlongs on the turf.
Okay. The two, Cali Magic, 15 to one. Chris Englehart. I like Chris Englehart. I love the Englehart's. I love of the Finger Lakes Englehart's, I believe is how you have to refer to them. But I mean, Englehart decides to run Cali Magic in the weeds today. After a monster performance last out on the main track on the 21st of April, 4/21, better late than never. She's got five career turf tries with two places. She's not devoid of talent. She's won 25% of her career starts. The pace is too perfect because, in my mind, every sprint race on the turf is going to melt down. The pace is too perfect, and she should have first run from the rail. So, I mean, I'm including two more horses with that, but yeah, Cali Magic was far and away my favorite at 15-1.
So I'll be interested to hear who your other two are. So I went back and forth between two horses, the one and the 10. who are ironically put right next to each other in the stall because the one's a coupled entry.
Yep.
The number one is Redefined, 5-1 for Tony Dutrow. And this is one who I think just needed that race at Tampa, had been, you know, off for quite a while, and now is coming back, I think, in a little bit of a better spot and has a little bit more conditioning. Some really nice works leading up to this race, especially that 48 flat bullet on May 12th on the Belmont turf. So I like seeing that a lot. This one, I think 5-1, you're getting a good price. And here's another horse that, If you're not going to maybe buy in all the way on chases, sense that it's going to be deep closers, then I think the one is going to sit a useful trip. Doesn't need to be in the lead, but can sit mid-pack and launch. And I think that's helpful. And then the 10, Gallon or Rush, is honestly a little bit of your angle of like, this is a horse that's going to be coming running late. I think this distance is going to work out nicely with the pace setup. And what's so interesting about Gallon or Rush is, you know, you can just draw a line through, I think, a lot of these dirt efforts that they had. Not that they were necessarily bad, but when you isolate the turf efforts, it's really good. And this horse is getting blinkers on and has had blinkers the last couple of races. And you can see it really made a difference, I think, in that April 16th race. Now you're getting second back from a layoff. And it feels like this horse with the blinkers added really is going to make a lot of sense. You get Jose Ortiz, who's been on fire up there in New York as well. So my top two are the 110, and I'll probably throw in the 7 Anna Karenin at 9-2 for Chad Brown. That one just looks maybe, you know, pretty tough coming back from the Here Comes the Bride and running pretty well in an allowance race last time out.
So we agree on Gallon or Rush. The only other horse I'm using in addition to the 2 Cali Magic and the 10 Gallon or Rush is the 5 Gunboat. At 5-1, I feel like I've been on this horse a lot and I've just really haven't seen the fruits of it yet. Shug tried this exact move with the horse I liked today that didn't quite get the job done, but doesn't sour me on the pattern or the placement for the horse.
Yeah.
Shug doesn't rush decisions. Like, Shug moves on Shug time, which
slowly, which,
like, yeah, it's like a, you know, diabetes rascal time. It only goes up to rabbit speed. But he doesn't, you know, rush these decisions on a surface switch. He worked this horse just like he did with the other horse earlier today, all over the local turf.
Yep.
Sharp 48-3, and has a turf winning sib. I mean, it makes a ton of sense, because whenever I projected out this pace, I mean, I took a look at it and I said that, you know, the horse might not actually be all the way up in that fray. Like, the horse might be able to sit just a little bit behind it and keep clean and, you know, emerge from a wall of horses. It will be getting the pocket trip that Matthew absolutely hates.
It killed me the other day at Woodbine too. Emma Jane sat a pocket trip and guess what happened? The rail didn't open up and had plenty of horse under her and just couldn't go anywhere. And so
isn't it crazy when the rail doesn't open up whenever Woodbine is as wide as like two runways at O'Hare put next together. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, really? We're going to hug the rail? Okay, great. And so that's that. So.
All right. We're two legs in. NBA Finals is going on, which is like basketball for white people on ice. We've got two more free contests for the Stanley Cup plus the NBA Finals. Enter exclusively on the SGPN app. Series props, game props. You win a $100 SGPN gift card. It's up for grabs for each contest. Download the SGP app. Download the SGPN app. And enter now. My tongue just started working again. Story time. My mom.
How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. The award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. With powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management, Constant Contact helps the small stand tall. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at constantcontact.com.
Texted me distraught because my nephew was at local minor league game playing catch with someone. And the way she described it, like, he's like 10, some teenager picked up a ball and just like threw like a Roger Clemens fastball at him, hit him in the face, knocked out about three of his teeth. He has to have like, you know, oral surgery. Turns out it was just like, the kid was actually smaller than him. He just had like a cannon. Like he just ran into someone who's like body performance and like velocity and RPM.
Like Bryce, the kid's like Bryce Young, you know, he's small, but he's got a howitzer as just a arm. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see how that howitzer goes next year. That's another subject. Let's move on. Let's race seven. 8.5 furlongs, $90,000 maiden special weight on the Widener turf. If you're not spreading this race, I would like to know how long you've been an Oracle and how, if you can teach me how to read things from the chicken bones, because this one looks chaotic to say the least. I ended up, what, four deep here. I never let myself go more than four deep anyway, but I'm interested to see if we landed on any of the same horses. I was so not confident. I don't have a top pick here. I have just four horses I like.
So it's funny. I actually feel a little bit more confident. I only went two deep in this race. And I am fading Chad and Irad. And I'll tell you why. Because this is actually a pretty amazing statistic on the number eight redistricting, who is 3-1 on the morning line. I think a lot of people are going to use, and single maybe. Over the last 5 years, Irad Ortiz Jr. is 0-21 riding Chad Brown maidens in debut on the turf at Belmont.
That doesn't even make sense.
Nope, it doesn't. And I checked the numbers three times to make sure that they're correct before I even texted somebody about this and had them double check.
That's a pretty stellar nugget, because you know what? Even you telling me that and then me seeing that this is a Clarivic horse running on the turf with Chad Brown with Irad Ortiz up, makes me glad that I didn't use the fucking thing on my ticket.
There you go. Nice work, my friend. So listen, I went to Fly Right. The number seven is my top pick. This is one I really like a lot. I'm taking a shot with this horse. Has run against outstanding company as a two-year-old, ran against General Jim, who of course then came back and ran on the dirt and ended up winning the Pathé Mile. Major Dude, who just run the Penn Mile at Penn National on Friday evening. Ari Gold, who came back to win a stakes race after that maiden victory. I just feel like this is a horse at 6-1 in the morning line. I think you can get a little bit of a price here. The connections aren't overwhelming. So again, I think the price is going to float up, but I really like that seven. And then I'm going to use the two Cumberland, the George Weaver horse. I think he makes a ton of sense here as well. And with Joel Rosario aboard, this is a horse last time that really just went to the front, got nabbed by Kalik, who's going to be in another leg of this in the grade two Pennine Ridge. And so I just think Cumberland is a really, really nice horse. And if you can get even 5-2, the morning line on him, that would be great. I will say that if I was going to spread to another horse and a third, I would probably add the three when Loves Take Over at 12-1. Horse had a huge perk up on the turf last time out. Still a maiden, but I really like this one quite a bit. And obviously, you know, it didn't perk up enough to win, but just finished second by a neck. So those are the three that I was most interested in. But to keep the cost of the ticket down, I'll go 2-7.
So to keep with continuity's sake, instead of working from the inside out, I'm going to work from the outside back to the inside and then to the middle, because I really liked Fly Right, the 7 at 6-1, especially with the first time Lasix for Leah the Body Giamatti. I want to point out that nickname is solely of my own creation. I don't think anyone else uses it. So if anyone needs to be scolded for it on social media, I am Himothy. Then we tuck back to the inside where I liked the 2, Cumberland, 5-2, clear cut turf route, early speed in this race. Yeah. What I saw, you know, with these races, you always really have to scrutinize. You can't just look and see 1-1-1-1-1. You need to see first at the first call, 25 seconds to realize that the horse is, you know, running 22-23 seconds to get in the lead.
Right.
That's your horse that's probably going to be on the lead, no matter how E8 it looks in the Kieran speed points. I'm going to tuck it back, move it back towards the middle where I was on the 3 when Love Takes Over at 12-1. I mean, the horse made a really impressive move before, you know, being put on the shelf and missed by a neck. Did it in stalking fashion, passing other horses. And I guess I'm a T-Mac fan today because I'm on another Trevor McCarthy now. Kind of like the consistent slow works leading into this one.
Yeah.
Me, when love takes over, I black out. I wake up in Mexico, stolen Miata with my beautiful bride by my side. Kilo of Bam Bam and a fully automatic weapon. No, I also use the six. Ohana Honor at 8-1. Yeah. My note on this one is, ooh, should be switching surfaces, though. This is the move after the move from Shug that I've been following. This is the move after the move. He's already done the move with this horse. So this is one that's running back after that. You know, it's tried running through the weeds for the first time. Could, you know, looks like it could be well meant for turf. Had that race at Gulfstream, you know, let's see how this runs. And if he punches through the sound barrier, I'm going to stable alert the other Shug horse who's coming off the move, who will be running this move next time, putting that one in there, game change, because who knows, that one could pop on the same pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So I was 2-3-6-7. Matthew was 2-7.
Yep.
This is lively debate.
I'm trying. I have a couple singles maybe later on. We'll see. I think the last race is chaotic.
What we've learned is that in a place of chaos, when we have to handicap in a rush, we both use the same crutches and land in the same places. All right. Race 8, 8.5 furlongs, $80,000. Non-winners of something. New York bred allowance. It is on the dirt. Gonna go contrarian. I think the winner of this race comes from the second wave of pace. I'm only using two horses here that I think will have first run. Both are great prices. I'm going to dig in with my first one. The 5, Kaz Palace at 10-1. Back to open competition after a try on turf, with New York Bred Company.
Mm-hmm.
Four starts, 2-1-1 over a fast track. Great work setting in. That's my top pick there. I really love that. I love that price on Kaz Palace. Who's your top here?
I'm gonna be just a chalk eating weasel and go with Shadow Dragon. And on a certain level, when you cap kind of quickly, sometimes I'm also a big fan of just looking at the company other horses keep. And this horse was on the Derby trail and finished second in a Derby prep race. and so, finished second in the Holy Bull, finished fifth in the Fountain of Youth, obviously was a nothing performance in the Wood Memorial, but still you're going from Grade 3, Grade 2, Grade 2 to now dropping down to a one turn allowance race. And the horse broke its maiden up at the, BAQ meet. And, I know this horse is going to need the pace set up for it to happen, but I also think this horse is just better than a lot of the other horses in this field. Mott's had some nice works for this one recently. So I went with Shadow Dragon as my top pick. So I'm going to be using him in my ticket.
I'm so glad that you brought up Aqueduct, because I'm really not ready to retire Belmont Face with an Aqueduct booty. Aqueduct. Baby got Aqueduct. My only concern, I thought about using Shadow Dragon, then I thought I would get cute and toss, even though I'm very much a Belmont fanboy, which his birthday is approaching. If you do not have a calendar alert set up for his birthday, do it, because it's during Saratoga and he's going to win.
Yeah, he is.
I ended up not using because I was afraid he was going to have to come from so far back.
I know.
He can win from way far back. He did it at Aqueduct. He tried to do it in the Wood. The circumstances aren't the same, of course, but that was my only concern. Also, it makes me think of that Joe Biden talking about his weed AI voice thing. I'm smoking the Boudinese Shadow Garden Primeval Kush Pack. Is watered by the blood of 32 dragons, Necromancer Kush, the THC to CBD Raish.
I love it.
Lit. Let's move to the peak. this is one of my favorite races. And it's because of one specific horse, the 9 furlong P9 Ridge Stakes, Grade 2, $200,000 on the inner turf.
Wait a second. The
Catholic boy.
What was the other horse you used in the previous race?
Woo,
you said you were going to use 2, and then you only talked about one of them.
You really saved us a lot of value, a lot of time that would have been spent circling back. So I appreciate that. It's the 8 Union Fleet.
Oh, that was the other one I'm using. I'm going 7-8 in that leg. So yeah, all right.
I just need Manny Franco to get this one to relax while chaos unfolds in front of it. He's going to be like the second wave hitting Omaha Beach, and there's going to be like pace carnage in front of him. It's just you got to keep moving. Just got to keep moving.
Super honest horse and very consistent speed figures. I like him a lot, and I'm using him and as kind of a backup to Shadow Dragon. So, yep, 7-8 for me.
All right, so on to the P9 Ridge, which I love for the versatile Catholic boy, which I saw a Catholic boy got a start the other day. I'm not sure how many foals he's got running around in his first crop yet, but I love Catholic boy. Love that horse. I
really cool horse. He won a grade one on turf and dirt, right?
He won the Remsen. He won the Travers. Yeah. He won the P9 Ridge.
Right.
That's the horses we need to be breeding, Matthew. These are the guys.
Don't you know it?
Don't the knock around it. Lunch pail guys who call at you from a jackhammer, you know, like, hey, sugar tits. All right. I proclaimed before a race recently that I was done beating my head against the wall, trying to beat these Applebee shippers.
Mm-hmm.
And that, once I got on it, Applebee lost bad, and it fucked me bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fucking trap, and I'm not falling for it. I don't care. It's Charlie Applebee. I'm singling Silver Knot in this race. You can't fool me. I know. In the words of Admiral Akbar, it's a trap. So that's it.
Yeah.
You can tell me how the race is going to run and everything. I'm still
Silver Knot's my top pick in this one, and I think if Silver Knot's your top pick, and looking at the way the rest of this ticket is probably constructed, you have to single one of these legs, and I feel like this is one where you're probably going to be most likely to single. Far Bridge. Here's the concern: there's not going to be any pace in this race. News alert. It's a New York turf race, so there's never any pace. Even if it looks like there's going to be pace on paper, there's none. Okay, because running over 50 seconds for the half mile is illegal in the state of New York. And so I think that, you know, Silver Knot, people are going to remember that Breeders' Cup performance where he came from really far in the back. But if you've watched his races over in Europe, he actually gets out pretty well, and he's a kind of more of a mid-pack to slightly forward horse. So he's not going to have to do the heavy lifting that Far Bridge is going to have to do, making up all this ground on a really slow pace up front. So I just think Silver Knot is, and I just tend to think Applebee just has better horses than the rest of us. And so I'm just like, oh, all right. Like, the guy's winning at what, like a 60% rate almost? I mean, it's obscene. So I'm just like, all right, we're just going to single Silver Knot here and move on. And, I will say, I do think there are a lot of really nice turf horses that we have that are in this 3-year-old crop. Because we're running a ton of these types of races right now, and they're all really strong. So I'm excited about Far Bridge, and I'm excited about even a horse like Freedom Trail and Click and a few others. They're nice horses, but yeah, Silver Knot for me and move on.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it. Like, listen, like I watched like the new Jurassic Parks with Chris Pratt. Like, I know all about this whole alpha thing. Like, he's definitely the alpha. It's like that time the neighbor's chicken got my backyard and I thought I was the alpha, and then it started like running at me like a dinosaur, and I was definitely not in control of that situation anymore. All right, here we go. It's time for the final leg of this carryover pick six. We're trying to win the kind of money where we can say these things.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around with your broke ass.
When we have people over to our house in the Hamptons and they spill red wine.
Hey, don't rub on that. You block that. You understand? That's alpaca. That's $25,000 alpaca. You block that shit. Right. You don't rub on. Put the club soda on there.
Matthew, how are we going to win this block my alpaca money?
Well, I know there's a certain personality on Twitter that'll say, when in doubt, go 6/9. I didn't go do that, but I did go 9/6 in this one. I do like the 9 and the 6 quite a bit in this race. So the 9 is my top pick, the Thrill of Victory. And this is a Mike Maker horse going a little bit longer, second back from a layoff on the turf with Jose Lezcano aboard. Feels like this is a good one going into a class drop, has been running in the maiden special weight state restricted company, now dropping down to the maiden claimer 40. And honestly, if you look at this horse's efforts, if you strike out the off dirt or off turf race back in October of 2022, The rest of the races are decent. I mean, a fifth, a third, and a sixth doesn't get your blood going, but it's not as if this was a horse that was like so hopelessly beaten and is dropping down in class. So a horse that was like up there relatively close and is now dropping down in class, I think is, you know, a good price at 5-1 if you end up getting it. And I'm always a sucker. You know, we talk about being a dirty little pig boy for certain things, and I am certainly a dirty little pig boy for a complete makeover package on a horse. And so that's why I like the six just for luck. You're getting the blinkers put on. You're dropping down in class. You're getting a new trainer. There's a lot going on here. And this horse was just so hopelessly beaten the last couple of times out in maiden special weight company that I'm hoping that some of these changes will have the sort of thing necessary to spur this horse on at a big price of 12-1. So those were two that I were looking at. I have a couple of others that I'll include after you tell me about your top picks.
Well, first I want to say that I was shocked when I look at these past performances to realize that Barry the Builder was not like 10 years old and hadn't raced like 50 times already. I guess I just handicap every time that Barry the Builder is
seriously
running.
Yes.
I didn't necessarily have a top pick. I'm just going to work inside from out. I did use the two, Barry the Builder at 5-1. I mean, I haven't been on the right side of it yet, obviously, because it's still a maiden, but time for that to change. I'll just use the 3 War Prince at 9-2. I thought this one could take a big step up, third off the layoff and second off of turf. I also use the 6 Just for Luck, 12-1. I a second
little pig boy
for all of that stuff. And then the last horse I included was the 7. Holding O'Pair at 30-1. We all know these horses suck for a fact, except for O'Pair. New kid, hot on the street. So I'm throwing that 30-1 shot in there. I think we've got a new, we had a couple different horses there. We got like the last leg just completely surrounded. Like if we were economists, we'd declare victory because we were just really projecting the shit out of this.
We really are. So, I mean, it's, this last race is pretty wide open, as you would expect a maiden claimer to be, pretty wide open. And that's why, you know, from my ticket standpoint, when we were talking about doing this, you know, going kind of, you know, in race 7, I go 2 by 2 by 1, that race 7, 8, 9 sequence. That's where I'm trying to save some money. But basically I go 4 by 3 by 2 by 2 by 1 by 5. And so I'm doing the 2, 3, 4, 6, 9, in that last leg. So, you know, it's not going to be a cheap one, I don't think. And it's, you know, maybe you have a better feeling for it than I do, but this feels like a rather expensive ticket, by our standards. There are some people who put together, you know, multi-$100 tickets and like it's nobody's business. And it's this would feel chintzy to them perhaps, but, this is a fun one though.
He's the one who did that Holiday Inn song, right? Chintzy. Never mind. Boom. If you didn't understand that joke, leave it in the reviews for the show and we'll explain the magic that was Chingy and the Holiday Inn. All right. So, you know, what's funny is you mentioned like tickets a little bit more expensive than I thought. We did this in a rush because we realized there was going to be a carryover and we wanted to get an episode out. So like I got to just like total up my ticket. I'm actually pleasantly surprised. I'm getting out of here for $96 at the $1 base. So 2 by 3 by 4 by 1 by 4.
Okay. Can you add
that math right?
All right. Can you add mine up as well?
2 by 3. Yep. All right. 4. Yeah. 96. Okay. What's yours?
Mine is 4 by 3 by 2 by 2 by 1 by 5.
240.
Yeah, so I'll probably end up taking off one of those in the last leg because that'll end up saving me, and I'll move it down to 120, and that'll end up being fine. Because I don't like using
so much that could change in that last leg. To be fair, like there could be a very logical edit to any of those horses, like in my 4 or your 5, because you have. I want to say there's 16 entries here. I mean, you're going to see a lot of attrition out of this race.
That's true.
If it's not from the front, so yeah. I mean, it may You know, I'm with you. I feel like we were giving you these picks and we believe in these picks, but we might change that last leg tomorrow.
Well, you know, listen, I mean, that's the thing is every time, you know, you can handicap from here to Kingdom Come, once the scratches come out, things change. And you go, oh, crap. Okay, well, and it's not just I like that horse and now that horse isn't running it. Oh, crap, that horse was lone speed. And now that changes the total dynamics of the race. And now I got to rethink who else I like in this race because I don't like the same horse anymore or, you know, something along those lines. So, you know, scratches obviously playing a huge impact, but hoping all the folks out there listening can put together an inexpensive ticket and hit it so that we can get that alpaca.
That's, I'm going to bring mine in like alive and form a relationship and bond with it. And then I'm going to make him a dope rug because that's how you honor your friends. I'd have a Matthew Santa's hair rug any day. Well, now that we are talking about collecting people's skin and hair, it's a good time to end the show. The Notorious OTV brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Real quick, Matthew, let us know about all the cool stuff you got going on with Trust the Profits right now.
Absolutely. Well, you folks can find me on Twitter at the handle at FailedDemented. Got a lot of stuff coming up for the Belmont and also have Keisha Courtney Clement joining me this week on Capping the Card, where we go race 1 through 10 and give you our top pick, top value play for every single race on the card. And then, yeah, got a ton of stuff going on with Belmont. And most excitedly, Monday night live stream, Monday Night Lights, starting 8 p.m. Eastern live stream, Assiniboia Downs every Monday night from now till the rest of the meet. We have a partnership with them. They've been great to work with. So you can hop on the live stream, hang out, and we are able to show the races and do all of that stuff. Great interaction with them. So a lot of fun. And you can find all that on my Twitter at FailedDemented.
And I'm going to jump in on there sometime.
Hell yeah.
Listen, you take a weekday and then you take the words night and lights after in an homage to the beautiful work of nonfiction by one Buzz Bissinger, with a coach portrayed by Benton, Arkansas's own Billy Bob Thornton. I'm fucking on board. Oh, and don't forget, my Edge Boost, double down play for the day for tomorrow. It's going to be the Houston Gamblers -3 in the USFL. Ooh, I just blew your mind with some spring football. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. That is us. It for us at the Notorious OTB. We will see you next week.